Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a fun can't do it yesterday.
The worst. The absolute worst thing you've ever done to anybody in media. This week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. There's a few things on that list too, apparently.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But the worst thing you've ever done is make me do that.
Yeah. I told Steph last night, I'm like, I'm 3 for 3 in work days with drama in 2018. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Hey man, I don't mind telling you that I talk to a guy every couple of weeks. Little therapy. It's been very good, very healthy. I believe in the evolved man, the ever-changing man that we all can be.
Yeah.
Especially you, the women. But, you know, I'm talking to him and he's like, yeah, I actually listened for a minute. I heard a segment where you have to tell the truth. He said, you're just asking for trouble with that thing. The therapist.
That's amazing.
The therapist. Heard can't do it. Said, what the hell are you doing with that?
Yeah, well, so what, is the therapist advocating lying?
No, he said, I would be angry at your producers for putting you in that situation. I'm like, oh, no, it's not them. It's Danny. It's Danny's bit.
Wow. All right.
So everybody thinks that you're a jackass.
Okay, well, add your therapist to the list at $160 an hour. How much do you how much time in therapy do you spend talking about me?
Very little.
Very little.
Alarmingly little.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
then I'm not causing you too much emotional distress.
No, not at all, man. Everything's good, man. Vibes are good.
Vibes are good. I'm just spending the money because I enjoy his time.
No. I got other stuff I got to work on.
Yeah, okay.
I have other things.
Yeah.
And you can guess what those are, but we don't talk about you very much.
Good. Would you tell me if it was the case?
Yeah, maybe not with the mic on.
Okay, yeah. Wednesdays at 11:40. Therapy sessions on the air.
Spiegel flaw draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. There's a lot of those.
312-644-6767.
We are doing a draft today. I'm looking forward to the draft we're doing today at noon because the NFL playoffs are upon us and we all need some dogs in this fight.
That's right. I believe these NFL playoffs to be even more wide open than usual. You've got the Patriots who could get the Chiefs in the opening round. The Chiefs blew them out this year and have played them tough in playoff games before. And this New England team doesn't seem to be quite as good as New England teams of the past, but they are still clearly the favorite. Pittsburgh, we got a serious Antonio Brown injury situation on their hands. And then the one and the two seeds in the NFC are quarterbacked by Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Yeah, I think it's even more wide open, obviously, in the NFC.
No question.
Because beyond those top two in the AFC, it's hard to find a team that you can back comfortably and say good things about.
Hard to find a team in the AFC you could see winning three games to get to the Super Bowl, other than New England and Pittsburgh.
It definitely does feel wide open. So we're going to simplify things, and we're going to draft playoff teams.
We're going to just draft playoff teams. Okay. Kind of do the Spiegel and Parkins power ranking, and we'll put some stakes on it among the crew to incentivize it, and we'll figure it out. I don't know what the stakes are. I just
stakes,
came up with that.
Stakes, yes.
They're literally stakes.
Sound good.
Yeah. I just saw Campy mouth to Jason.
Stakes?
Stakes?
Yeah.
No, we're not getting. All right, fine.
Steak dinner, boom.
Fine.
Steak, let's do it.
Steak dinner, boom. Man, puts a lot. It's even bigger stakes than I was thinking. I was thinking like $20 a man or something like that.
Oh, no, steak dinner, boom. Well,
boom.
We got to make sure that these guys are okay with steak dinner, boom.
All right, we'll see. Maybe they can buy us burgers.
How about dinner, boom?
Dinner
steak, boom.
What's that?
Cheesesteak, boom.
Yeah. Cheesesteak, boom. That's fine.
No, that's good.
It's fine.
If one of them win, if one of us win, it's a steak dinner.
Uh-huh.
And one of them win, it's a steak, cheesesteak lunch.
Yeah.
All right.
That works for me.
We're programming the show on the air.
No fries.
No fries. All right, fine. But Spiegel and I can share fries.
Yeah, that's right.
We're coming together as a team in 2018.
Because I spend less time talking about them in therapy.
That's right.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We've got Ben Lieber, who is former NFL player, Vikings sideline on Pat Shurmur and George Edwards at 9:40. Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus on the wild card weekend matchups at 10 o'clock. Pick a player at 10:40. The rundown brought to you by Zillow, with millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, and tools to help home buyers find what they're looking for. Zillow, find your way home.
We are also, of course, keeping abreast of anything that happens on an unbelievably slow Major League Baseball free agent market and hot stove season in general. And today is a really good day to check back in on the tanking dreams for your Chicago Bulls. It's a really good day to check back in.
And I got a guy that I think I want in the draft. I think I got a guy.
The NBA draft?
The NBA draft for the Bulls. I think I know the prize that I want from the tank.
Can they get it at the 7 spot, which is where they are now?
I don't know. We're going to check in on it.
Or the 9 spot where they were before a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, probably not. I want the big prize. I want a big prize. Okay. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. But the biggest story in town, obviously, is the Bears coaching search. And you have you're hearkening to your past, right? When you started at the Score, you were a big folder guy, right?
I was. That's true.
You got your folder situation.
The prospective Bears head coaches folder is absolutely happening here. As always, the sponsorship opportunity remains for any of the sales staff who might be listening. Staples or perhaps Office Depot, Office Max. They all merged, I think. But
you want your folder sponsored?
It's only been, you know, a topic of conversation going on about 8.5, 9 years.
Here. I need a car. So my lease is up in 5 weeks. Just saying.
Yeah, I understand. Mean,
if we're just going to hawk ourselves out there, you know, for maybe you get free therapy.
What did you give your wife, by the way, the piece of jewelry that she was never expecting? That one that was like, tell her.
I didn't tell her. She loves it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it work out well?
Worked out great.
What if it worked for Cap in the same way?
I'm sure, listen, Cap's got that big money that he probably bought his own jewelry.
Eerily similar storylines in your Christmas gift-giving worlds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was thrilled.
Good.
Speak, so
good.
X-nay on the immersial case. Oh, okay. Please.
Oh, my bad.
Keep it down.
All right. Well, look, our teammate Greg Gabriel worked for several teams around the league for decades. And he made some calls on our behalf as a station. I talked to him this morning a little bit. He knows a lot of people still working in the league at a bunch of different organizations. This can be very, very valuable.
Yes.
And got us some background and some info on Pat Shurmur, on John DeFilippo, and a couple other things. And we appreciate, you know, Greg making some calls on our behalf and digging around, because we gotta learn things. The Bears are going to interview both the Vikings coordinators next after talking to Vic Fangio yesterday, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And which is why we're going to have Ben Lieber on to talk Pat Shurmur and George Edwards coming up in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So perception on Pat Shurmur around the league has been: really smart guy, but super serious guy. Does he have the personal magnetism to control the room? Doesn't that make sense a little bit from the little bit that we've seen of Pat Shurmur and how much everybody's excited about John DeFilippo and Sean McVay and stuff like that? You're looking for that energy, that spark, that something to stand in front of the room and control it.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur makes the most sense to me, even though, like, I would like... personally?
Like, resume-wise, he makes the most sense.
Yeah,
right?
like personally, I would like someone like that is maybe perceived to have a higher ceiling, that could, in theory, be considered a top five coach in the game, a true difference maker, that sort of thing. And I just kind of feel like that normally is going to be the young guy who gets his first shot, that, you know, Sean McVay's it and takes the world by storm. I'm not sure that 50-something-year-old Pat Shurmur, who was the coach of the Browns and has been everywhere in the NFL,
right,
is just going to be that guy. But I'd be shocked if Pat Shurmur was a bust of a hire. Like, I'd be shocked if he wasn't able to develop Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. and I'd be shocked if he was not able to significantly improve the Bears on the offensive side of the ball.
Does he have that energy that it takes to really, you know, control the room and get in there? And Greg was told yes. Yes, by somebody who knows him very well and has worked with him. He's not just a this-is-how-we-do-it because that's the way we do it guy. He is one of those guys who will explain it to you, talk about it with you, listen to you, have the conversation, and maybe adjust based on what is good for you and comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Now, that feels really important to me. Remember the quote that I read to you about from Jared Goff just on Monday in one of the articles I'd read? He said that McVay is not a guy who just says, this is how we do it, because that's what we do.
Right.
He actually has the conversation with him and says, oh, your footwork, you don't like doing it that way? Okay, well, then let's talk about some other ways that we can do it. Like
the collaborative effort.
Yes.
Even though everyone hated the Bears using the word collaborative, the collaborative effort where it's supposed to be collaborative.
Well, I mean, how many times have we heard, old stick-in-the-mud coaches going, like, no, that's just how we do it, all right? Just shut up and do it that way.
Well, also, in this NFL...
You can't.
Right. It seems to be more impactful to do it that way because the college teams are not running pro-style offenses.
Mm-hmm.
They're all coming in running the spread. They're all coming in with the plays being called from the sideline. They're not huddling. They are in the shotgun 95% of the time. So if you were going to say, well, no, we're going to run it the same way we ran it in 1982,
mm-hmm.
like you've got to do what Bill O'Brien did in Houston and adjust your system to fit your personnel.
Yes, and Shermer has shown that with some of the plays and design that they've done with Keenum.
Yeah.
He's adjusted to Keenum's skill set a bit in Minnesota.
And I don't think you can watch the Vikings and not feel like they're maximizing their talent, which is to me, and I think that Mike Zimmer obviously mm-hmm. gets a ton of credit for that, mm-hmm. and I don't know what percentage of the credit goes to Pat Shermer for that, but offensively, I look around that team and I'm like, they're better than their sum of their parts. That usually is about coaching. That reflects well on Pat Shermer.
Agreed. And personality-wise, Shermer, smart, super serious, but can be funny, does have that personality to really communicate well with the modern breed of player, was the phrasing that Gabriel got. He got a raw deal in Cleveland, an extra reason to sort of wipe away the Clevelandness of Shermer and the failure there is that Jimmy Haslam and Banner, that Joe Banner came in and he never had a chance. So one of those situations that we've seen many times where like above a coach, things change. And even though they were arcing in a direction that would have been fine for a lot of people, he just never had a shot in Cleveland.
That makes sense.
All right. On John DeFilippo.
And by the way, no one holds that against him, right?
I think that's true.
Like I think people hold Denver against McDaniels more than they hold Cleveland against Shermer because Cleveland is where quarterbacks and coaches and anybody not named Joe Thomas goes to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like nobody looks good coming out of the Cleveland organization.
I agree. And I think that's why the information that DeFilippo called plays in Cleveland matters to me. So we know that is something he's done as opposed to looking at Cleveland and did they succeed or not.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. So a couple things on DeFilippo. According to the guys that Greg talked to who know him well, DeFilippo is going to be a good coach, but he's not ready. He's not ready. He's going to win the interview. He's one of those guys who does have that personality, but he's probably a year or two away. The biggest fear of this person who knows DeFilippo well, he's not ready to put a staff together. Does he know enough guys on different sides of the ball? Does he have the contacts that it takes to put his staff together?
That is a legitimate concern, obviously, for any young coach who hasn't been around that long, right? Who's just been like maybe working his way up through the ranks.
Sure.
DeFilippo has worked for the Eagles, the Browns, and the Raiders in the NFL. Then it was San Jose State before that. Mm-hmm. Then the Jets, Raiders, and Giants before that. So he has worked for four or five different NFL organizations.
And we don't know how active he's been in like, hey, if I ever get a job, would you come? Or like how active he's been in maintaining and chasing down those relationships.
Right. We don't know how he is as a networker.
Right.
Is he just a grinder, worker, put his head down, and he's all about offense and quarterbacks? Or is he also a networker and a careerist? But I would say if you're up for a head coaching job at 39 years old in the NFL, probably a fairly decent careerist.
Yeah, probably. But this is a person who has worked with DeFilippo for a long time and said that he's just not sure. And, but were you sure that McVay knew enough people?
Well, right. And so we were looking it up. How did Sean McVay land Wade Phillips to coach his defense? And he used, like so many people use in order to get jobs and network in this country, family connections.
Yeah. Wade Phillips' son was on staff in Washington And so Phillips, McVay knew him and went through him.
So he went through his son to get to his dad. Yes. And so his dad, and then Wade Phillips has kids who live in California.
He's got a daughter who lives in LA.
So it made sense for him in his personal life to right. be around his daughter. And so there's a lot of reasons to come together for how the 31-year-old head coach
right.
could hire the 60-something-year-old defensive coordinator.
One thing that we did talk about also is that Mike Pettine, who was the head coach in Cleveland, a defensive guy, when DeFilippo was the offensive coordinator there,
mm-hmm.
is still getting paid by Cleveland right now, but he's about to come out of contract. So that makes sense as maybe DeFilippo makes that call and says, all right, I was your OC. Will you come and be my DC? You know?
Sure.
And that's a guy who's done it before.
And obviously in the NFL, the GM and the team, and as we've talked about a lot here recently, uh-huh. the president and the owner all get a say in hiring the head coach. It's ultimately going to be Ryan Pace's job, but the head coach gets to hire their staff. Like that's just how it works in the NFL. Unless there's a holdover there and they want that person to be there, like what happened with Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz in Philly.
Sure, and you wonder if – I would assume, wouldn't you, that yesterday part of the conversation that Ryan Pace has with Vic Fangio is, hey, if we go offensive, are there some of these guys you might work with, you might not work with? You know,
would you be interested? And he's a coaching free agent.
Yes.
Like, would you be interested in coming back here as the defensive coordinator? Period.
You know
what I mean? Before we even talk about whoever the head coach would be, and I'm sure that before he would sign on for that, he'd have to know who the head coach
right,
is,
right,
obviously,
right, right.
and see what his reward
would you even is. Consider it?
Would you consider returning here for anything less than being the head coach?
Right. So how helpful could Ryan Pace be in helping a young John DeFilippo put together a staff? More helpful than he would have been 3 years ago to a coach.
No question. And maybe Ryan Pace has to have more of an input on hiring the coaching staff
yeah.
than he otherwise would have if he hires a young coach.
You know who might be helpful there? Is Ted Phillips with all his years in the league,
Danny. He's got a lot of coaching folders.
All my years in the league, all the different head coaches I've worked with. Smirk, smirk. Shut up! Shut up! All right.
What other coaches did he get info on? Because we're going to get those on the other side.
Okay. Nagy.
Okay.
Matt Nagy. And a thing on Josh McDaniels as a possible destination that I think makes a lot of sense.
All right, so we got Ben Lieber on the Vikings candidates. The Bears are interviewing both their offensive and defensive coordinators. We'll do that in just over 20 minutes. This is Greg Gabriel making calls on our behalf on potential Bears coaching candidates. You just heard what he said about DeFilippo and Shermer. We'll tell you about McDaniels and Nagy next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Credit Karma.
Triggered!
Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
Oh,
we'll stick to sports on the air. You can't control what we talk about out the air. Yeah, we'll trigger each other left and right with articles we're reading.
You know, my years in this league.
Ah. Oh. Triggered! That's what triggers me on the air.
That's right.
Is an excerpt of Ted Phillips, not an excerpt in the New Yorker.
How's your bomb shelter, Speaks? Is it good?
Not good.
No.
It's not good.
I live on the fifth floor.
I think Colbert led off his monologue last night, but like, how's everybody doing? We're all good. Our skin is still firmly attached to our face. It's a good day.
That's a good day. It's a good day.
Yeah, that's a really good day.
Take the small victories. All right, one segment at a time.
So my skin's still firmly attached to my face as I pass on information from our teammate Greg Gabriel about these possible Bears head coaching candidates.
Let's talk about what really matters. Why did you oppose the incoming nuclear war? I just felt the need to weigh an offensive coach or a defensive coach for the Bears.
Why did you taunt the madman? The guy you say is a madman and is volatile, and yet you taunt him? Why are you doing that? Shut up. Tell me about Matt Nagy. It makes all the sense in the world.
Perfect sense. Bears. I gotta go Bears, Campy. Please.
Go Bears!
Yeah! Yeah!
His skin also still firmly attached to his face. It's orange, but it's there.
By the way, all the teams, by the way, should just, like, if they really believed in that sort of thing, like, trade for Machado, go over the luxury tax,
oh, right.
break the bank.
It's just time.
Win the last championship.
What your legacy will be.
Yeah, win the last one.
The last
is there a legacy if there's nothing left?
Well, that's a good question.
Doesn't matter.
You know, you'll remember the Cubs won the final championship before the nuclear holocaust. You guys remember that? It was great.
It's a real incentive to just scrap the rebuild for the White Sox.
Man, that boy, this stove is a lot hotter than I thought.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The nuclear winter meetings coming soon to you.
Oh, God. Didn't even, like, how great would that be if there was a press conference for a trade that was just like totally out of left field? Like, all of a sudden the Marlins start spending and Derek Jeter's like, well, I mean,
we're pretty sure we're the world's gonna end. Yeah, the world's gonna end. Got a whole nuclear war thing happening. So we've gone ahead and we've acquired everybody.
We've acquired everybody. We didn't think they'd be available, but everyone decided they wanted to live out their last time on Earth at
South Beach.
So we became very desirable.
With our model class, grade A, Latin infused.
Yeah.
We got them. All right, so Matt and Nagy.
Here's the facility. Here's the spring training complex. Here's the bomb shelter. All right. Enough nuclear jokes.
All right, Matt Nagy is a bright guy, but is he ready? Really? And so there's not a whole lot about Matt Nagy, but, you know, from the folks that Gabriel talked to, Matt Nagy, because as you've said, a meteoric rise, right?
Yeah, well, it just
like a missile shooting up into the sky.
Like, wow, this might be the last thing I ever see.
Right, is a guy going from offensive coordinator Kansas City to being the Bears head coach.
Just from what I know, being around that organization for a while, and he'd been there for a few years, worked with Andy Reid in Philly. Like, Andy Reid has always really liked him. He brought him over. He speaks very highly of him. It's just, Andy Reid is so hands-on with the offense, and then there was Dunderson who was hands-on, and then Brad Childress had like a special roles thing. Like, they had three veteran head coaching experience type guys in that room before they ever got to Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, now he's around a bunch of great offensive minds, so he's probably learned a lot.
Right.
But just in terms of responsibility, the public pressures, all that sort of thing.
And he has only been with Andy Reid since 2008 in Philadelphia.
That's correct.
He has only been with Andy Reid in Philadelphia and Kansas City. So in terms of knowing enough people to put a staff together, more of a challenge for him than DeFilippo on the face of it.
On the face of it, because Doug Peterson already took some people to Philly.
Correct.
Andy Reid's going to keep some people in Kansas City. Dave Tobe might be leaving anyway to go somewhere else for his own promotion. So, like, Matt Nagy, I like a lot about what people in KC tell me about him. I really do. It's just, it's like putting Mitch Trubisky in the coaching interview so early.
You know what it's like?
It's very premature.
It's like putting a 30-year-old kid from Deerfield in the midday slot, you know? It's dangerous.
From Glencoe.
Oh, Glencoe. I'm sorry about that.
It's totally not ridiculous when you talk about the worldly experience that I had growing up in Glencoe. Thanks, Beegs. Let's get an update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio.
He doesn't even know where I'm from, Joe. Worked together for a year.
You know.
So different. Glencoe. I mean, Glencoe's closer to the lake.
How far is it from, where are you from?
Glencoe.
Deerfield.
Yeah, how far is Deerfield from?
10 minutes. A lot of people from my temple came and made the big commute from Deerfield, okay?
Okay, got it.
And get to the news, Joe. Who asked you? Yeah.
I hate Clemson more.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe Ostrowski. We'll talk to Ben Lieber in less than 10 minutes. He knows Pat Shurmur and George Edwards well, and even though he is the broadcaster, the sideline broadcaster for the team's radio network, Paul Charchian says he will shoot it to you straight, he will be objective, he will be critical if need be, he will give you his true feelings on the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator of the Vikings, that coming up in just a few minutes. But you spoke with Greg Gabriel, who made some calls on his and our behalf and gave us permission to pass along the information. We've already done it with Pat Shurmur and John DeFilippo and Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one that he talked about, Josh McDaniels.
McDaniels, the news came out this morning, right? Or late last night. He interviewed yesterday in Indianapolis. Now, Chris Ballard, the GM in Indianapolis, with his Kansas City ties, and a lot of us been thinking, well, maybe Dave Tobe makes sense there, or Matt Nagy makes sense there. But the owner, Jim Irsay, he meddles every once in a while and likes big, splashy news. And McDaniels, as a fit with Andrew Luck, sure, but also hearkening back to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patriots rivalry that Irsay wants to, you know, swim with the big fish once again.
Say what you will, that was a fun time in the NFL.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. And if you're Jim Irsay, you're looking back on that and you're thinking about, man, yeah, I want to be thought of with the Pats and have those meetings in the playoffs with everything that, that right. goes along with it. So Irsay is pushing hard for Josh McDaniels, and we'll find out how strong Chris Ballard can be as he perhaps fends off the desires of his owner.
In Josh McDaniels, we have to be open to the possibility that he'll be Bill O'Brien. Or better, that he'll be the offensive guy who breaks away. And Bill O'Brien seems like he's a good coach, but you ask 10 people in Houston, you'll get 10 different opinions on Bill O'Brien. Yeah, it is not like Deshaun Watson looks great, but it is not consensus that Bill O'Brien's a great coach. We had Meltzer on, and he was telling us about it. Like, it's like, I like things about him. I'd consider him if he got fired, but there have been plenty of things that people have been critical of him for, relationships in the building, erring on the side of a veteran quarterback as opposed to realizing that Deshaun Watson was clearly the best guy from Jump Street,
right.
being late to tailor his offense, didn't do it in preseason and training camp, that sort of thing. Like, now, you could learn on the job and get better, but
sure.
Bill O'Brien is not a slam dunk, but he is the most successful guy to leave the Patriots tree.
Right,
in a head coaching role.
The Belichick tree is a big thing. McDaniels, will he want to do everything? And if he doesn't do everything, can he even play out the model, as our guy Michael Lombardi has put it, if he's not doing everything?
So coming up next, and I wonder also, conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat maybe, is Ryan Pace interviewing the Vikings offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator to get some intel on a team that's the 2 seed in the NFC out of his own division? But we'll learn about the Vikings offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator with their sideline reporter next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in. Spiegel and Parkins on The Score. Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus in 20 minutes. But joining us now on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline, Ben Lieber, former NFL player, Vikings sideline reporter on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. We appreciate him spending some time on his bye week.
Danny, has Dick Stockton ever done play-by-play for an interception in your life?
No.
Mine neither.
It's unfortunate.
But Ben Lieber had it right there.
A career highlight, I assume. Right, Ben?
I'm laughing on my end because I'm wondering, and be honest with me, like, how long did it take to find a Ben Lieber highlight clip against the Bears? I mean, that's like a half a day journey right there.
Can't be.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. That's how much we care about your appearance.
Wow, that's it?
The internet's a crazy place, Ben.
I know. Yeah, it seems like when you mention my name and Brian Greasy and then Dick Stockton, who obviously is still doing stuff, but man, it just seems like that was a long time ago, many moons ago.
It was. You got beaten out for a job in San Diego by Sean Merriman. It feels like he retired 2 decades ago, you know?
Wow, thanks a lot.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad.
Why do you always do this to our guests?
I do that. It's my bad. He was on drugs, Ben.
It is a good yin and yang, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
You play a highlight, then you also like to, you know, talk about something that's bad or negative that happened in their career. So, yeah.
Build you up, tear you down, build you up, tear you down.
It brings me back to center. I appreciate that.
So the Bears are trying to poach, it seems like, both Pat Shurmur and George Edwards. I feel like we know a little bit more about Pat Shurmur. We'll ask you about both. But what do you think of George Edwards as a head coaching candidate? Is he ready for it?
Well, I'll say that I think anybody that's in that role of just sort of placekeeper and not pure decision maker, especially on game day, I think he's always going to have question marks. Whether, you know, for at least for this organization, you know, Brad Childress was the same thing as he came from Philadelphia. You know, he was the offensive coordinator, but he didn't make the calls, and that was Andy Reid. So there was always, I think, some question marks and legitimate question marks about, all right, how are you going to run this offense? Daryl Bevel, I know he didn't get the head coaching job, but, you know, he didn't call the plays for us as Vikings when he took the OC job in Seattle. And so there was a learning process and a learning curve for him when he got up there. So, you know, I think in this situation with George Edwards, he does, according to Mike Zimmer, he does everything during the course of the week that any defensive coordinator would do, except when it comes to game day, he doesn't make those pressure calls and those down-by-down calls. I think as far as running a team, I feel like you sort of need to be in that role of being on game day and having to manage and juggle all those things because it's multifaceted. There's a lot of things that you have to multitask and make decisions about on the fly. And I do think that it helps. I'm certainly not every head coach has to be a coordinator, but I think it certainly helps to be in that role where you're making game day calls. So if you had to choose one over the other, you know, I think I'd go with Pat Shurmur just because he's actually making the calls.
Well, Shurmur's got that advantage over every one of the other young offensive minds that the Bears are considering and that we kick around here all day. So in a lot of ways, it feels like he has the lowest floor because he's done it before and probably knows what he's doing. Personality-wise, does he have what it takes to command a room, you think, Pat Shurmur?
Yeah, I think so. I think what we're finding with a lot of this stuff, with 32 head coaches and I know that they're not all elite and successful, but you find multiple personalities can be good leaders. And I think he definitely has a personality that you can gravitate towards. He can manage a team. I think he does a good job of, just from a talent evaluation standpoint, of looking up and down your roster and figuring out not only what your starters can do well, but what your backups can do well also. And that's been evident in the year and a half that he's really taken control of this offense, is we've had so many injuries, both offensive line, which I think is one of the hardest places to evaluate, finding offensive linemen that are, two, three down the depth chart, and even young guys, and trusting them and putting them in positions to be successful. And I think that's a really difficult thing to do. I mean, it's easy to find a skill position guy like, hey, well, just look at the way he runs on the field. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious with the eye test that this guy has what it takes. But when you look at offensive linemen, my goodness, we've had, in the last year and a half, there's been so many guys that have gone down and guys flip-flopping back and forth. And then he's calling plays to sort of take some of the vulnerability away from those guys. So he does a great job, I think, up and down the roster of evaluating talent, and that's really what it comes down to when it comes to the product on the field.
Ben Lieber, Vikings sideline reporter, joining us to talk about the offensive and defensive coordinator for the Vikings, who both the Bears are requesting interviews with. The number one thing, at least from our seat, for the Bears' next head coach is going to be maximizing and developing Mitch Trubisky. What can you tell us about Pat Shurmur's role in maximizing guys like Case Keenum?
Well, I think that's it's a great fit as far as what I've seen out of Trubisky is, an athletic quarterback that I think once he gets more comfortable with the system, he can get more comfortable extending plays and moving around within the pocket. I think that's been a huge development for Case Keenum, is his ability to stay within the pocket, make guys miss, use his athleticism, which I think still surprises a lot of people, and get out and make some throws. I think Trubisky probably has a bigger skill set when it comes to arm strength and getting the ball down the field. So I think you can do a lot of the things that Case is doing, making good decisions, extending plays. You can do a lot of that with Mitch. So I think he's a great fit. I think he'd be good for that offense. You still have to figure out, can Mitch make those smart decisions? I think he has the accuracy. He certainly has the feet and all that stuff and the awareness, but you still have to make good decisions. I mean, it's the same thing we talked about with Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, is those guys have a lot of physical traits, but it still comes down to making good decisions, and sometimes they don't always do that. So that remains to be seen, but I think based on what Pat Shurmur was given when he got to the Vikings, with Norv Turner retiring last year midway through the season, having to manage and navigate implementing some Norv stuff, implementing some of his own ideas, all while keeping it simple and allowing his players to play fast, and then at the end of the season, totally switching gears and going more into his system. I think all of that has translated into sort of a hybrid offense. I mean, it's hard to really say what he really is, because he can move the ball down the field, and he can be a little bit West Coast. So I think if there was ever a time for him to take a head coaching job or move his offense away from the Vikings, this would be the year to do it.
Hey, Ben, how has he and the Vikings gotten so much production out of the two backup running backs after Dalvin Cook goes down? It's stunning to me. Maybe some of it is just situational because they've had a lead and they're running a lot, or what has he done, if anything, to make that so effective?
Well, sure. I think some of it is situational, as is every player's production. But I think the addition of the offensive line with Remmers and Reef on the outside, you get Rashad Hill, who's a backup that's played like a starter throughout the whole season. And then the young guy at center, Pat Elflein, the rookie from Ohio State, has been a gigantic surprise. And the way this offense is able to athletically come off double teams and get to the second level has allowed Latavius Murray, you know, to use his size. You know, I don't think that Latavius has exceptional vision. I don't think that he has great awareness as far as getting his body in the right positions. I mean, sometimes he runs smack dab in the chest of a defender as if he doesn't see them. And I think a lot of his big runs are because the offensive line is just manhandling people. And he does do a good job when the read is right smack dab in his face. It's his primary hole that he has to hit. If that's wide open, he does a good job of running off the hips of the offensive lineman, making it hard for defenders. So those guys up front is drastically different from this team last year. And they really struggled last year in third and shorts, fourth and shorts, goal line situations. They could do all that work, but they get down the red zone, they just cannot pick up a few extra yards. This year has been different. And then they get in Jerick McKinnon in there, and it's kind of like everybody else. They want a big guy and they want a fast guy. And I think that imbalance for a defense, especially with the offensive line, is hard to grasp.
Hey, Ben, you played for 9 years. Who's the best athlete you ever played with in the NFL?
Man, best athlete?
Yeah, like the guy who just blew you away.
I tell you what, Percy Harvin was pretty damn athletic.
yeah, he was.
You know, he did some things that I think you would be shocked if you actually saw him in the locker room, and you're like, wow, he's not that big of a guy, but yet he'll lower his head and run some people over, or he'll run right around you and make you miss and make you look stupid. I would say pound for pound, one of the best players I ever played with was Antoine Winfield. There is another guy that is pretty small in stature, but I've seen him take on 315-pound linemen like a linebacker. I've seen him do things athletically in small spaces that most people can't do, which to his benefit works out when he's that small. He's one of the toughest guys I've ever played with mentally as well. Those two guys come right to the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, another Ohio State guy, Antoine Winfield, was great there too.
Ben, we know you got to run. Thank you very much for the time and the insight.
Hey, no problem at all, guys. Enjoy your coaching search.
Yeah, enjoy the second. Enjoy the 2 seed in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, we
will.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Ben Lieber, Vikings sideline reporter on the Spiegel and Parkin show.
It's fun to read about him. Was a running back in high school, getting 1,400, 1,500 yards, gets to college, and they're like, yeah, you will never be a running back in the NFL. Would you like to play in the NFL? Let's make you a linebacker. And he does.
Yeah.
Gets a 9-year NFL career at linebacker. Pretty cool.
Everything you said about Pat Shurmur sounded good to me.
It usually will.
Of course, that's the thing.
From
these
Minnesota,
are endorsements.
Right?
Yeah, and it's going well. It's going well.
Where did it go bad? Should we talk to somebody in Cleveland about how bad it went for Pat Shurmur there? If it gets a little further down the line, maybe.
Also, actually, we've got now not quite as qualified, but it is a caller who says he's a Browns fan who has the Browns fan experience on Pat Shurmur. Asked and answered. Todd, what's up? You're on the Score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was hoping maybe, Danny, we can do a trade and you can give me a little scouting report on Dorsey. Obviously, I don't co-host a show, and as you said, I'm not very qualified, but I watched every game he coached and listened to about 50
that,
press.
That works. That works. All right, I'll tell you about Dorsey after you tell us about Shurmur. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you this. I think you're spot on, Danny. Thing I would say about Shurmur is you could do a lot worse. His floor is he's a professional, and he's going to bring in your token, high quality, not token, I should say, retread. He'll put together a very good staff, but I doubt he'll get any of those, the young up-and-comers. So that makes you probably happy, Speaks. I don't think you'll have to worry about whoever he pegs as his offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator as being stolen. He's going to get your typical classic NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably be there. I would say, though, the comment that they would make about him on the 92.3, the Fan, your sister station, is that he couldn't motivate a guy to jump into a pool if his hair was on fire. That's kind of his personality. And if you can get this guy only because he's hilarious, and you might know him from your days in L.A., Chuck Booms used to host a show, and now he does a podcast, and he really didn't like Shermer at all. As a matter of fact, in his morning show, he used to play, remember that vulture from Bugs Bunny, the oop-a-doop-a-doop? He would play that every single time Shermer would talk, and that was kind of so, and he's hilarious. If you got, I promise you, if you ever talk to him, like I said, he's a sports guy.
Yeah, but what you're saying about Shermer's personality is where we started with
We've heard things like that.
Dry.
So you guys are spot on. I think he's a Peter Principle guy. I think he's as good of an offensive coordinator, a good person, a professional. He will have, I mean, you won't have to worry about chaos and things like that, but I know the whole bear, you know, macho, bravado, bear weather, all that gets overplayed in people. But I mean, football in general is a sport where I think you do need some of that. And that would be my biggest concern is, you know, he's the type of guy that he's going to have his head so buried into the books and the film that he might miss, you know, that guy. You know, I don't think he's going to be the guy to inspire mid-level guys to be good and good, you know, to be great. But, you know, like I said, and as far as his time in Cleveland, this is a very low bar. He was set up to succeed about as high as anybody since they came back in 99. He had Holmgren and Hector. We're professionals. Now, Holmgren, you could argue, was there to play golf and wear his Hawaiian shirts and drive his golf cart. But Hecker was a legitimate GM with a good track record. He had a professional NFL roster. He had one of the best O-lines in football with a young Alex Mack, Joe Thomas in the middle of his prime. You know, he didn't have the quarterback, and that's the big if, of course. He had Brandon Weeden, enough said.
Todd, what do you do for a career?
Are you from Gardner, Todd? Is this Todd from Gardner?
Yes, I am, and I was Shep's coach when he was a wee lad. I'm a teacher, Danny. And my dad taught at New Trier for over 30 years, but was long gone by the time you got there. I'm an oldie, so.
Well, I'm just saying, you got a career in sports talk. It was good. I was just sitting back listening.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
I think everything there was interesting.
And
good stuff.
A bunch of listeners recognize you from when you call in and talk to Hub.
As for John Dorsey, I'll give you the quick unbelievable evaluator of talent, found stars in every draft, Travis Kelce, Marcus Peters, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, so not just like at the absolute top of the draft. You know, he found their impact Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber players in every draft. His problem was the salary cap management. He re-signed his own guys probably a little too prematurely, like a guy named Lawrence Duvernay-Tardif, who's a guard. He gave him over $30 million, and he was a year late on re-signing Scott Pioli's star players like Justin Houston and Eric Berry. He re-signed him, but he ended up having to pay them maximum dollars, so it got them into a pretty bad cap situation. Great evaluator of talent, maybe not as great at the other stuff, but promised you to give you the Dorsey scouting report. And you guys got over $100 million in cap space, so you can't really mess that up. Thanks, Todd.
Right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. The Score is airing all of the NFL playoff games this weekend. We'll talk about the wild card matchups and a few Bears things with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus.
There's one Bear that he has ranked higher than any of us would, so we got to talk about that.
We'll do it next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.